Welcome to the Claudio Relsano Show on claudiorelsano.com, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Claudio will be speaking to sports legends from the 70s, 80s, and 90s about their careers, business, and what they're doing now. He will also hold roundtable discussions with some old friends about trending topics in the world of sports. And now, here's Claudio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Claudio Relsano Show, brought to you by Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center and Aspire Pediatric Therapy. As always, I want to thank Rick Mitchell for the introductions and my fantastic producer, David Zaloof. Years ago, there was a basketball player named Lloyd Free, and he changed his name to World Be Free. I think Adam's going to change his name to my fantastic producer, Adam Zaloof. But anyway, today's guest has written close to or over 30 books on Pittsburgh sports, including Classic Pens, Pittsburgh's Greatest Athletes, Pittsburgh's Greatest Teams, a great book on Three River Stadium, which is, I want to say that's probably my favorite. And he's writing a book on the Civic Arena, which is another one I can't wait to read. And his newest book is on the legendary Pittsburgh basketball star, Chuck Cooper, and it's called Breaking Barriers. And I can't wait to see that one because I'm very interested in that. But today's guest is Dave Fanoli. David, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem. Glad to be here. And to tell you, I used to take a trip out to the Coliseum in Richfield, Ohio, many times to see World Be Free play.
Oh, there you go.
He was a fun player to watch.
I used to like it when he was the point guard. The coach would send in the signals. Lloyd would put up some fingers and he got it no matter where he was. And I loved watching him. One quick line about him, they asked him, what was his best attribute as a shooter? Because remember, he was a gunner. I mean, he'd fire it, but they would say, what's your best attribute? And he said, a lousy memory. I'll never forget that line. Great line. Whenever I think of Chuck Cooper, I think of the phrase, the first two. He had a lot of firsts next to his name. So let's start with that. Name some of the firsts, because he had a lot of them.
He had a lot of them. He of course, the first African-American to be drafted by an NBA team. He was taken as the 14th overall pick in the 1950 draft. And the famous line, I believe it was the Chicago owner went to the Celtics, Walter Brown, and was trying to tell him, Walter, do you realize he's a Negro? And Walter looked at him and basically said, I don't care if he's polka dot or any other color. We are taking Charles Cooper. Mm-hmm. But it was beyond that. Chuck Cooper at Duquesne was the first African-American, I believe, to play since the Duquesne's other Hall of Fame player, Cum Posey, who's more well known as the Homestead Gray legendary owner, manager, right, player. And they're Duquesne's only two basketball players in the Basketball Hall of Fame. But Chuck Cooper also at one point set the all-time Duquesne scoring record. He was the first African-American to be included on a consensus, second African-American to be included on a consensus All-American team. He was elected to the, which isn't well known, elected to the NBA All-Rookie team in 1951, and certainly the first African-American to be named on that team. But he was more than that. This is a guy that, to be honest, when I was approached by Tom Rooney and his son Chuck Cooper III, who does a tremendous job running the foundation in his father's name, that benefits educational aspects of African Americans who want to further their college education. But I, the first thing out of my mouth was, I hope you have a lot of pictures, because I'm not sure I can get 100 pages out of this. Well, we almost got to 400 pages. The man was fascinating. He was the first head of a department in the city of Pittsburgh's history who was an African American. One of the first executives at the old Pittsburgh National Bank who ran their civic affairs department to such a legendary standard that people today are still following his footprints from what he set out at that point. So this is a man who, what's not known about him is he was the first holdout in Celtic history. He took a stand because he wasn't getting what he thought was his fair value. He wasn't looking for the top players, just looking for his fair value. And he took a stance that could have ended his career. Back then, you didn't hold out or you lost your career. But Chuck Cooper wanted to make it fair for him. He wanted to make it fair for all African-Americans who came after him. That was something that was important to him. So this was a man who was very firm in his convictions and was not afraid of the fallout that could have happened from him. He was a very complex man.
David, there was a legendary coach, basketball and baseball from Peabody. Mm-hmm. His name was Norm Frye. And he was, I believe he was like 76 years old or so whenever he was an assistant baseball coach at Duquesne University, whenever I was there from 94 to 96. And I remember talking about Chuck Cooper. Well, he was talking about Chuck Cooper, but I heard him. And I went over to him, and I believe almost positive that there's the one of the gyms is named after Chuck Cooper at Duquesne. Am I correct?
They're actually the main basketball facility, the arena, the former Palumbo Center is being gutted, and that's what's being named after him.
Okay, but there was a smaller gym in the Palumbo that I believe was called the Chuck Cooper Gym. But anyway, So I said to him, what did you know about him? The first thing he said, I'll never forget, is, what a man. I'll never forget the way he said it. What a man. So he didn't talk about what a great player he was yet. He talked about the type of person he was. What are some of the stories through your research? I mean, obviously, you went over a great list of things that he accomplished. But what were some of the things that made him stand out as a man?
Here was Chuck Cooper. Chuck Cooper, and the reason it took so long for him to get into the Basketball Hall of Fame, to be recognized for his greatness by the university, is he did not search out compliment. He didn't boast. He was almost kind of shy away from the topic when people would bring it up about him. But here was a guy who was also dedicated his second act in life was even greater than his basketball career, which obviously was tremendous. Chuck Cooper, education was so important to his father and his mother, and they instilled that on Chuck, who instilled it on his children. And he wanted to serve his community. He wanted to serve the people, and he wanted to do what he could for that. So he wanted to do it in a meaningful way. So he goes to the University of Minnesota to get his master's degree, and then basically dedicates the rest of his life to helping people, one-on-one. So many people I talk to, the great Kirk Bruce, who was a star at Pitt in the mid-70s, a star basketball player. When I talked to him, just went on and on what Chuck meant to that community. They said he would go to the grocery store, which was 5 minutes away, and it would take him a couple hours to get back because people would come up, you know, asking for advice, asking for help. And Chuck Cooper would take the time to do this throughout his life to help these people. And that's what separates him from some of the other so-called greats who broke racial barriers in their sports. It wasn't important for him to break the barrier. It was important for him to contribute and make sure the future of people who were struggling he could somehow affect. He did this at Pittsburgh National, helping run down areas, get financing to have buildings. People could have jobs. He's an amazing individual and a creative one. One of the great stories I came across, he teaches himself to play the trumpet by listening to a Miles Davis album when he's in his mid-40s. Who does that?
Right.
I mean, he teaches himself Spanish because he wants to help a community in Lancaster and wants a job there. And it's a highly Spanish community. And again, we're talking mid-30s or early 40s when he does this. So, I mean, this guy was so committed to helping people. This was his major focus. He's not only, to me, a sports hero, he's an American icon. I mean, he spent his life dedicating himself to this on the basketball court and off. And the stories are so numerous of people as high as CEOs of Pittsburgh National currently or recently who just remember what Chuck meant to that company and what he meant to the people of Pittsburgh. And the fact he did it all without looking for the pat on the back, without looking for the recognition. If he were alive today, if he didn't, his son didn't have the opportunity to push his legend across, I still think people would be not knowing a lot about Chuck Cooper because, you know, he was just that kind of an individual.
You know, he had many stops, starting at West Virginia State, which is now West Virginia University, of course, Duquesne, but Boston Celtics, Milwaukee, St. Louis Hawks, Fort Wayne Pistons. But the one thing that sticks out to me is this, that his heart never left Pittsburgh. He never left Pittsburgh. And no. And you touched on that. It had to be very important to him, was to make his community better. Obviously where he played and all that, but he really had a big passion for Pittsburgh, correct?
He did. And he went to West Virginia State, which I believe is West Virginia Wesleyan.
My fault. Okay.
Because that was a historically black college at the time, and that's where the African Americans would go to play collegiate basketball. And he averaged over 20 points a game in his one semester there. And he was there with he was good friends and teammate of Bill Nunn, both at Westinghouse and West Virginia State, who's up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame now.
Right.
But he goes into the Navy, and when he comes out, he's recruited by some Northern teams, including Long Island, Claire B., who the Hall of Fame coach, who Long Island was one of the great universities and schools at the time. But he has an affection for Pittsburgh. He wants to stay home. He wants to play in front of his family. Chick Davies brings him to Duquesne. And I mean, the place touched him early, early in his career there. They were scheduled to play a game against Tennessee in McKeesport. They didn't have an arena at the time, so they were going all over to different high schools. It was a year before they went to the Duquesne Gardens to play. And the Tennessee coach, John Maurer, had sent a note to the university that said, if you're going to play an African-American, you know, please sit him when we come, because he doesn't want his boys subjected to playing against African-American players. So he comes in, he finds out that Chuck Cooper is getting dressed, goes to Chick Davies and again asks him, you know, we won't play against Chuck Cooper. Chuck Cooper even offers to sit down so his team doesn't have to forfeit. But both Chick Davies and the head of the school athletics council, which was a judge by the name of Sam Weiss, basically goes out to the court and says, guys, go home. We are not, if Chuck Cooper can't play, we are not playing this game. And he sent Tennessee home without paying him. And at that point in time, that's when Chuck Cooper fell in love with Duquesne, because he knew this was a school that was going to treat him fairly and going to have his back. And it was a love affair he had with the school throughout his life.
That's good. That's a great story. Unfortunate, but a great story for sure. On that, sure. We're going to take a quick commercial break to hear from our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cabot Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Lurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. We'll be right back with author David Finoli.
The doctor is in. Hi, this is Dr. Roscoe at the Roscoe Allergy Center and the Roscoe Hearing Care Center. It is important to let you know that we are going above and beyond to ensure your safety. Our staff and I are practicing all necessary guidelines to ensure safe treatment and comfort. There is no need to suffer and wait. Let us help you now to improve you or your loved one's quality of life. The Roscoe Allergy Center and the Roscoe Hearing Care Center in Dubois. Call us today, 814-375-0455. Or visit us at roscoehearing.com.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
Law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.
Okay, David, tell us a little bit about Chuck's NBA career.
Chuck came in and immediately he became one of the elite defenders and rebounders in the game. If there was a defensive player of the year in 1950 and 51, through the first half of the 1950s, Chuck would have been a candidate, if not the winner. But back then, one of the things that came to light in researching also the life of Earl Lloyd, who was the first African-American to actually play a game, and Sweetwater Clifton, who was a former Globetrotter and the first African-American to sign a contract, because Chuck, again, at the beginning, had to negotiate because he wanted to make sure he was getting what was fair. But in researching them, the NBA wasn't ready for African-Americans to take the forefront offensively. And this frustrated Chuck, and it frustrated all of them. So when he was given the chance to play his game, Chuck was a great athletic player who could drive to the hoop. He was ahead of his time. The game was more a stationary-to-stationary passing game at the time. And when Chuck was given that opportunity, he was very successful. But they kind of pushed him a little out of the game plan and wanted him to shoot from the outside, which was not his strength. So his offensive numbers were probably more deflated than they would have been had he played later on. And this was common with the African-American players in the first part of the 1950s. He would average in his good years would average a little under 10 points a game. He was considered a driving force for the Celtics. At the time, the Celtics were one of the worst teams in the league, and he was one of a group of players, including Bob Cousy, who was a good friend of Chuck's, who turned that franchise around and was the beginning of the formation of the dynasty that people remember from the late 50s and early 1960s or mid 1960s. But so he was a good, solid player. He was known for his defense at the time, but his offensive game should have been a lot better had he been allowed. And he was a vocal critic of this in the papers at a time when it wasn't, you didn't backtalk your team to the press. So again, it was more for Chuck to, and it wasn't just, I can't do this. He was critical for the other players, African-American players who were also seeing the same thing. He came out in the paper during his probably his second or third year and was very vocal critic about this. So again, Chuck was more interested in making the playing field level than he was, caring if he lost his career or not. But that was the kind of NBA player he was. And one of the things that kind of proves that is when he goes to the St. Louis Hawks, they kind of pull the restrictions off him, and he goes nuts in the first month and a half of the year. Averages over 15 points a game, really over 20, because the first few games he really didn't have good games. But he has an altercation with Coach Red Holtzman, who was the Hall of Fame coach for the Knicks later on.
Sure.
Red Holtzman goes down to LSU, takes a team to LSU to play in Bob Pettit's old stomping grounds, who was a member of the Hawks also. And again, Chuck is told he can't play. And, you know, he doesn't feel Red Holtzman kind of defends that. So he ends up having to sit out that game because they don't want him playing in the South. So after that, he sits on the bench more often and his career ends a year later, which was a shame because he still had more left. But the relationship was so strained between the two that his playing time was virtually cut to nothing at that point.
Now, he also played with the Harlem Globetrotters at first, correct?
He did. He signed with them right out of college. I mean, I imagine he just didn't expect to be drafted by the NBA. So he signs with the Harlem Globetrotters, and they had always played a national tour against the college All-Americans. So he was on that, and he, as the tour went on, he was becoming more and more successful. And then actually has the Boston Celtics have a big argument with Abe Saperstein, who was the famed owner of, sure, of Harlem, until, you know, he finally backs down and, you know, allows them to sign Chuck without a fight. But throughout his NBA career in the offseason, he would join the Harlem Globetrotters and become a very important player for them in the offseason.
Now, with everything that he accomplished on the court and off the court and business and also his activities and building businesses and helping people here in Pittsburgh. But number one, was he treated with, after he retired, was he treated with reverence and was he honored and respected by people for his work, again, on the court and off, not only in Pittsburgh, but in the United States, because as we said at the beginning of the show, there were a lot of barriers, obviously, that he broke, and that tag, the first two. Was he treated with the reverence that perhaps he would be treated with now?
I would say at PNC, he was. He certainly, it was the last place he worked before he unfortunately passed away. And from all accounts, it was a place he finally felt at peace with, like he was making a huge difference. So the respect was there at PNC, and you know, even years later today, it just kind of blew my mind how much respect there is for him within that company. Within the city of Pittsburgh, I think Mayor Flaherty, who was the mayor at the time, had a lot of respect for him. There were other people within the administration who did not, and did not necessarily allow him the flexibility to do his job, which is why he ended up quitting there. But from a basketball standpoint, no. Even until just a few years ago, I'm not sure the respect was there that was due to him. The push into the rediscovering of Chuck Cooper directly relates to his son, Chuck Cooper III, who was the co-author here. Chuck Cooper III, he's an amazing guy. He was a basketball player, and, you know, kind of took, after his father died, I know he spent some time in pharmaceutical sales, but he eventually found the calling that his father had and has developed a life of serving his community and trying to better academic opportunities for African-American in honor of his family. But it was important for him that other people knew the greatness of his father. And through his endeavors with the foundation and getting in touch with the Hall of Fame, getting in touch with the NBA, he was the major force in people rediscovering who Chuck Cooper was. I mean, when I went to Duquesne, I graduated in 83. You heard of the guy, but it really, you know, even the school wasn't really going nuts promoting him at the time. I mean, now he's getting the proper respect he deserves there, but it wasn't probably until the early part of the 21st century when people started recognizing who Chuck Cooper was, and it all came to fruition when he was inducted last year into the Hall of Fame. So many people, Dr. J, Walton, Baylor, Isaiah Thomas, they all came up and wanted to be the people to help induct him. There was a huge line of people, Bob Cousy, a huge line of people on the stage of the Hall of Fame there to induct him. It was like, not only did the dream come true, but it ended in such a way that nobody could have imagined. People giving him Jamal Wilkes, people giving him kudos for what he did to open their careers. And it was quite touching watching the ceremony.
Now, two things. Number one, does his son live in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. His son lives on the other side of Monroeville, not far from where I live.
Okay. And will you be doing any events to promote the book, I'm sure, with his son?
Well, we had lots of plans.
You had mentioned some. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, we had lots of plans until COVID.
Right.
So we're kind of on hold with that. But the foundation is going to have a virtual, usually they have a dinner every year or a luncheon to honor his father and recipients of awards that they give out. But that'll be done virtually. I'll have to get to the times and dates for that. But we will be planning on doing a lot of promoting once this lets up a little bit and we're allowed in the bookstores to do such things.
Was there something, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to happen in February for Black History Month? Is that still, or is everything on hold?
We're planning on hopefully going to some local colleges and speaking of Chuck Cooper and talking about him, talking about the book. But right now we're just kind of waiting to see.
Sure.
You know, what the client's going to be at that point.
Now
to do such things.
One thing we were talking, did his son approach you to write the book or did you approach him?
I was approached. I do a lot of work with Tom Rooney, who's just an, if you haven't met him, the man is an incredible human being and gives up so much of his time to help people in the area, part of the Rooney family. And he approached me. He does work. He's on the board for the Chuck Cooper Foundation. Now, Tom, if you read the Three Rivers book, has some great articles in there, especially
right.
one on the Maulers, which is a hoot. But so he approached me, and I met Chuck through him. And, you know, now I'm certainly honored to call Chuck a friend. And, you know, the process was just fun. I mean, we lived and died this thing for months going through the research. But that's how it came to fruition.
Now, how can people get the book? And really all your books, but specifically this one.
Well, most of them are at the local Barnes & Nobles. All of them are online Barnes & Noble. All of them are on Amazon. Right now, that book and Three Rivers is just starting to hit the bookstores because of COVID, of course. The shipments were all backloaded. But right now, Amazon is the best place to get them. We should have everything in the bookstores, local bookstores, within the next month also. That's the best place to get everything.
All right. Well, we're going to be talking about that book and doing some promo for it on the shows. And again, with my book, I'm very fortunate that you are going to be doing so much with it. I appreciate that. To have your name associated with my book it means a ton to me because, like I said, I love your books. They are I have so many things that I didn't know, not that I'm a huge hockey fan, I'm a Pens fan, but there was things that I didn't know. All your books, there's something in there that I said, man, I didn't know about that. I mean, you really put your heart and soul into these books, and I really appreciate you both professionally and personally, and all the best with this book. And you're passionate about all your books, but I can really tell that this one really maybe touched a nerve with you. Let me ask you that as a final question.
Sure.
Did this touch a nerve with you? I mean, again, you pour your heart and soul into all the books, but just by listening to you talk about this book, it was like maybe a nerve was touched.
Oh, let me tell you, it was, as I said, I thought it was going to be me going through box scores and just, you know, regurgitating stats, trying to figure out a way to make this, you know, 120 page book at best. And just the stuff, I mean, there were times my jaw would drop open when I was reading stuff about him. Just the respect I got for this guy, the frustration that I never got a chance to actually meet him and talk to him. And it's tough to find a negative on this guy. And it did. I mean, as I researched it, there would be nights I'd start at 6 o'clock when I got home from work. I'd look at my watch thinking it was 9 or 10. It'd be 2 or 3 in the morning. I was just mesmerized by what I was finding out about him. And I mean, to me, this is my hero. I mean, everybody has their sports hero. This is my hero. This is what I would hope all athletes, or all people, not just athletes, all people would aspire to do. Just the way he gave of his time, the way it was important for him, that his family got his attention, that, you know, there really is no bad things I came up with the guy. I mean, it was just amazing. I get goosebumps when I talk about him. I could literally sit here and talk about him for 2 or 3 hours.
Wow. Well, that's why I really hope that his name gets passed on nationally for what he did. Again, the barriers that he broke, the success he was, not only on the court, but off the court. I mean, as people know, I talk about on this show all the time, I admire athletes because that's the world that I'm in, but I admire them even more for what they do out of their respective sport when they retire. As Chuck Noll used to say, and this is a line I use damn near every show, your life's work. And it seemed like Chuck Cooper really went on with his life's work. So I really hope people read your book and see who this guy was, and that his impact is still out there.
Yeah. If anybody has a goal in life to be remembered for good, this is what this guy did. I mean, he died in 1983 or 84, I forget which one. But he was only 59 or 58 at the time when he passed away. So, you know, we're talking 40 years, almost 40 years after he died, that people are looking at this guy with a reverence. I mean, except for Roberto Clemente, I don't know of any Pittsburgh athlete, and rare national athletes, that people have that feeling about so far after their death.
Right.
And really, with these people, they're rediscovering a guy who had been lost in time. And thanks to his son, he no longer is.
That's great. Well, I certainly wish you all the best with it. It's a great story. And like I said, we'll talk about it on our show. And I know you're going to be on Steel City Sports World soon to promote the book. Yeah. Can't wait to have you on for that. So, David, as always... Oh, yeah, we're definitely excited to have you on. And it's an important book, and there's nobody better to write it than you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Okay, brother. Again, best of luck, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, everyone, that was great. And definitely make sure you get that book, and you'll definitely enjoy it. David, as I said, all his books are great. But I, for some reason, I just kind of sensed that he was really, as I said, hit a nerve, this book. And obviously he told you why. So definitely get the book. And we'll be talking about that book on other shows to promote it. So as always, I want to thank our sponsors, Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center, Aspire Pediatric Therapy, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar at 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call Dom at 412-372-3667. And criminal defense attorney Eric Jackson Laurie, with offices located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. Call Eric at 412-963-9308. And thank you, Rick Mitchell, for everything. And again, my fantastic producer, Adam Zaloof. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. And, of course, on my website, ClaudioRelsano.com. Keep the emails coming in. I really appreciate the great... emails you guys sent us. My book, as I mentioned, David, both guests in 2 weeks in a row have their hands in my book. I couldn't do the book without them. And that's David Andron and his publishing company, John Melvin Publishing Company, and David Finoli. Couldn't have a better guy attached to that book. So I'll be keeping you posted on my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up. And we have a bunch of great guests coming up, as we always do. Appreciate you listening. And as always, thank you, Mom and Pop. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to The Claudio Rossano Show, brought to you by Aspire Pediatric Therapy and Roscoe Hearing and Allergy Care Center. Be sure to tune in next time on ClaudioRossano.com.
It's so nice to be outside this time of year to enjoy boating, fishing, gardening, and golf.
How about swimming and playing in the park, Grandpa?
Yes, it is, Parker. Unless you're experiencing sneezing, headaches, nasal congestion, itchy, watery eyes, and hives. It's allergy season.
Can you help people feel better, Grandpa?
Yes, Parker. At the Roscoe Allergy Center in Dubois, folks can get relief so they can enjoy their summer. Call us today, 814-375-0455.
Solutions with the care you've been looking for. Gotcha.
Has your child been diagnosed with an autism spectrum or developmental issue? You're not alone. Aspire Pediatric Therapy has been helping families for over 10 years and has three convenient locations. Through love, laughter, and play, the Aspire team provides occupational speech and feeding therapy using the area's only state-of-the-art sensory motor gyms. Aspire will treat you and your family like family. Don't settle for less. Call 412-474-3566 or check them out on the web at aspirepediatrictherapy.com.
The law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available when you need him for all of your defense needs. Maybe it's a DUI, or maybe you found yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. Whatever the scenario, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are available 7 days a week. With a practice based throughout western Pennsylvania, the law offices of Eric Jackson Lurie are conveniently located in downtown Pittsburgh and Fox Chapel. When you or a loved one needs discreet, experienced legal representation, call Eric Jackson Lurie at 412-963-9308. That's 412-963-9308.
We want to welcome our newest sponsor, Dom's Pizzeria and Sports Bar, 502 Cavett Avenue in Trafford, Pennsylvania. Call 412-372-3667. Don Pecora, great guy, great food. Make sure you tell him we sent you.